The Bible reading for today is from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. And you can find that on page 717 in the Red Pew Bibles or follow on the screen behind me. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is God's word.
Thank you, Jody. I wonder what your week has been like this week. Been a tough week? Have there been fights at home? Maybe troubles with the kids? Never troubled with the kids. Financial stress? Marital conflict? Sickness? Work pressures? Well, today Jesus steps onto a donkey, rides into Jerusalem, challenges the Jewish religious establishment, threatens the Roman rulers, and effectively says, "Kill me." Doesn't matter what your week has been like this week. This week that starts today for Jesus is going to be cruel and gruesome and torturous to the point of crucifixion on a cross. It's going to be a tough week for Jesus, to say the least. The Christ, the Messiah, the anointed King, though, was sent from heaven for this very week. It's known as Palm Sunday. We've talked about that already. The Sunday before Passover. Jesus' mission was coming to the end, to its climax. Only a few days before his brutal and violent death on the cross. So Jesus, with love and with strength, arranges to jump onto a donkey and ride into Jerusalem. Deliberately. And although there is joy and there's celebration, Jesus knows how it's going to end. I've been one of those places where there's joy and fun, but you know it's not going to end well. But what had happened up to this stage? So Jesus spent 9 months purposely beginning to zigzag through Galilee, then Samaria, then Perea, and finally Judea. He has ministered in 35 locations, taking the journey that would take him into Jerusalem for Passover. Now he was back in Bethany and on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And you need to know that expectations were running high in Jerusalem. Earlier he had raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. That news, that sensational news that this man who had been dead for 4 days was raised from the dead, that message had spread around Jerusalem. Everyone has been talking about the resurrection or the raising to life of Lazarus. They know that Jesus has the credit for this. And on his way to the Passover, he is healed blind Bartimaeus in Jericho. The pilgrims moving on before him, all heading off to Jerusalem for Passover, because crowds will be coming to Jerusalem. They've seen blind Bartimaeus who has now been healed. There's a story about Lazarus in Jerusalem. Everyone's talking about that. They're traveling into Jerusalem for Passover, and he heals a blind man. So the crowds are talking about this. They're talking about Jesus. Everyone is talking about Jesus. But you see, we learn from John 12 that great crowds were coming from Jerusalem to see him and the resurrected Lazarus. So not only are they talking about him in Jerusalem, they're coming out of Jerusalem to see him and to meet Lazarus. The religious leaders talked together how they might kill both Lazarus and Jesus, John 12. So they are not happy with the fact that Lazarus has come back to life and people are being drawn to Christ. So they want to put him to death. There's unparalleled tension in Jerusalem. If you're in the marketplace or in the doorways on the corner in the temple, everyone's talking about this Jesus. Is he the Messiah? He's opened the eyes of a blind man. He's raised someone from the dead. Is he the one? Is he the king? Is he the one who will drive out the Romans? Is he the one we've been looking forward to all this time? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The crowds come out from Jerusalem. The crowds follow Jesus in towards Jerusalem. Jesus knows all of this and makes a definite, calculated, and premeditated action to go to Jerusalem and to go to his death. It is time now for Jesus to publicly declare himself. I am the king. You know, many times as you read the Gospels, they wanted to make him king and Jesus would escape. No, I'm not ready to be the type of king you think I am. And he would escape up to the hills and the mountains and he would pray. But now he's saying, I am this king. And he takes deliberate preparation, verses 1 to 6. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They are in Bethphage, a suburb part of Jerusalem, but separated by the steep Kidron Valley. It's a little hamlet, a little town, a district between Jerusalem and Bethany. When you approach Jerusalem from the east, coming from Jericho, you would pass through Bethany and then Bethphage, about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, only a couple of kilometres. I have a picture there. You'll see it up on the screen. You're looking from the mountain out to the mount, from the Mount of Olives, which is 300 feet higher than the Temple Hill, looking across the temple. That gold dome you see there, that is present dome, that is a mosque today. That is where the temple was. And you would look across. So he's on the Mount of Olives. He's looking across. He knows where he's going. Picture the temple there. And he's heading there. How does he... What's this thing about the donkey? Why does he just find a donkey? Whose donkey is it? We're not told. But we do know that he knows there's a donkey in place. He's got it prepared, or he can simply procure it, as any rabbi could. I know there's a donkey there. Go and get it. Ask for it. Say the master wants it. And he gets the donkey. Even to the donkey, he's got to plan and organize, right? Now, Jesus is in control here. Nothing happens outside of his control. And he chooses a previously unridden donkey. He's going public. Friends, I remember a few years ago when ISIS got the world's attention through their violent attacks and beheadings of their enemies. Remember that? Just anywhere you looked, more beheadings, more beheadings. Jesus got everyone's attention through his peace-focused, triumphal entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Not murder, not killing, no chemical weapons, no retaliation with missiles. No airships, no planes, no. He comes humbly riding on a donkey. He is in control. He's going to save the world. And his work is not a violent work. It is a peacemaking work. We see that in verses 7 to 10. Why did he choose a donkey? Because 500 years before, Zechariah had prophesied that the Messiah would come riding on the foal of a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Matthew's gospel records that this was to fulfill what was spoken through that prophet. Matthew 21, verse 4, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And friends, you just need to know that riding a donkey, contrary to what we think, donkeys, they're not very obedient, are they? I mean, when you think of them as dumb animals and not very special, and we love the beautiful horses. But it was a kingly act which identified him with the royal line of David. So when Jesus comes on a donkey, it's not like just an unimportant animal. It's saying, no, no, the king would come riding on this donkey. When I ride on this donkey, not on some other animal, it identifies me with Zechariah 9, verse 9. So he rides in. He's acclaimed by the Galilean people who are following with him. He's acclaimed by those who are coming out of Jerusalem. You need to understand that this is a huge event. This is an event that's going to change everything. There's a red carpet on the floor. Well, not quite red carpet, right? Clothes and blankets are thrown on the floor. People are waving branches. Why palm branches? Mark's gospel doesn't say they were palm branches, but John mentions that they are palms. So they're waving them. There's the king who's arrived. Crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted. What are they shouting about this man on this donkey? Hosanna, which means save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And therefore the whole city is stirred and shaken, Matthew 21, 10 and 11 tells us. Bartimaeus is healed. Lazarus is raised from the dead. This is no ordinary person. And after the feeding of the 5,000, they tried to make him king. Jesus escaped. No longer does he escape. He now rides into Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace. Rejoice, O greatly daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. And this is important here. He's the Prince of Peace, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah 9:10 says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. This is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6. He is on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. He comes on an animal of peace, not a chariot or a war horse. He says, I've come to bring peace. Friends, don't we need that today? 80 people killed by chemical weapons in Syria last week. You saw the pictures. Children struggling to breathe and stay alive. You have no idea what's going to happen in Syria over the next few days. And in so many other parts of the world. Jesus comes as a peacemaker. And friends, he still offers peace today. He says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you, he said to his disciples. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When you know Christ, even in the midst of catastrophe and tragedy, you know there's a peace that God can give you that takes away your fear. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you have a bad week this week? Marital tension, financial stress, trouble with your kids, struggles at work. Come to him and find rest for your souls. But friends, the ultimate peace comes through the cross. And that's why he was going to the cross. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I'm so thankful Jesus got on that donkey, don't you? So thankful he didn't say, well, God, no, I'm not doing this. I've lived for 33 years on this planet. I came from heaven to earth, but I'm not jumping on that donkey. Let someone else jump on that donkey. I'm the perfect son of God. I'm not getting on that donkey. No, he said, I'm on this donkey. I'm going to Jerusalem, to the suffering, the torture, the pain, and the death, and the resurrection. And I'll overcome sin. I will overcome death. And I'll bring forgiveness to the broken. I'll bring reconciliation with God to all who trust in me. Now, I was reading a story of one person. Let me give you an example of someone who found that peace in God. Bernie Diamond is the CEO of ChristianityWorks.com. He wasn't always the CEO of ChristianityWorks.com. He said, I had it all. I had a wife, I had two kids, a big house, a partnership in my own computer company, and a comfortable income. I grew up in a good home, he says. I benefited from a quality education. I studied to become an army officer at Australia's elite Duntroon Military College in Canberra. I was an effective businessman with little time for a moral path to wealth. He said, I did what I wanted and I trod on whoever I had to, he recalls. It was all about me. Then in 1995, the dam broke in Bernie's life, he says. Whatever could go wrong seemed to head south in a hurry. Business crisis, marriage collapse, personal heartache. He had a tough week and a tough year. He said, being a man who had had everything, whose life was comfortable and predictable, I was shattered. I was completely lost and alone in a hotel room in Brisbane at the time. In desperation, I didn't know where to turn. I fell down on my knees and I prayed, simple and uncertain. God, if you're really out there, I need you now. Please, God, help me. I'm just picturing this man. He had everything, and he's now sitting in a hotel room alone, lost everything. Where does he turn? God, if you're out there, I need you now. A business partner offered him, a lending hand. He reached out, took me into his home, and I lived there for a month. His wife gave me my first Bible, prayed with me, and organized longer-term accommodation with her mother, also another Christian. And so it went on. These Christians just seemed to come out of the woodwork to help, to hold me, to support me, and give me a refuge. October 1995. Bernie was sitting in a church in Wollongong, listening to a preacher say four life-changing words. God is calling you. God is calling you. He said, I went outside, sat down quietly under a tree on my own, and gave my life to Christ. It wasn't something I planned to do. It just happened. The incessant pain went, and I was filled with a joy that I just can't describe. Friends, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, who jumped on that donkey on Palm Sunday, is the one who can bring peace with God, reconciliation with God, forgiveness of your sins, a new start, and a new future. He is the one who brings all that we desire, all that we truly need. But I want to finish with something else in this story. His tears. Sometimes we don't know that Jesus stopped and he wept. It says, as he approached, this comes in Luke's gospel, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. With the city in full view, the Savior begins to weep. He breaks down. What's he weeping about? He has prophetic vision. He knows what's coming to the city of Jerusalem, the city that has rejected him, the city that will nail him to a cross as someone who has come from Satan. He weeps over that city. He sees the people, the men, the women, the children, and he sees the death and devastation that is about to come to this city, and he weeps. 40 years later, this came true under Titus's Roman legions. The Jews rebelled against the Romans. And what the Romans did was simply barricade the walls of Jerusalem, and they starved them out. You barricade, nothing go into Jerusalem or out of Jerusalem. They brought them to the point where people were dying inside. The famine made Jerusalem a graveyard. And when the Jews lacked the strength to bury their dead, they cast them over the walls into the surrounding ravines. Then the Romans went in and completely destroyed and demolished the city of Jerusalem. Jesus, riding in on Palm Sunday, sees what is to come. He breaks down in tears. He has come as a savior. He has come to bring hope. But they hate him and will kill him. But he still weeps for them. Let me ask you a question. What awaits you in your future? And Jesus looks out, not to Jerusalem, as he looks to your life this morning. What does he see in your future? If you know Christ, if you have trusted in Christ, found forgiveness and new life, he sees glory and heaven and eternity. But if you haven't, if you're still rejecting God, if you're still ignoring God, pushing God out of the picture, what does he see when he looks into your future? He sees death and judgment, alienation from God forever. And dare I say, he weeps. What does he see in your future? You know, I was at a funeral a few years ago, and a man said to me afterwards, he heard the message of the gospel and the hope of eternity and heaven and hell, and he came to me and said, Pastor, can you say a prayer for me that I'll live a long life? He didn't ask for a prayer that he would be right with Christ and trust in Christ. He said, I don't want to die, Pastor. Will you pray that I live a long life? I said, I don't want to pray that prayer for you. I want to pray. I said, you may live a long life, but if you don't know Jesus, then you suffer the judgment of Jesus. You want to find his life and his forgiveness. I said, I don't want to pray that you live a long life. I said, oh, Pastor, you've got to pray for me. Just come out of a death experience and a funeral. But let me ask you, who are you weeping over today? As Jesus weeps over the lost and the brokenness and the judgment to come, who are you weeping over? Maybe a mother or a father, a son or a daughter, a spouse, a friend, a work colleague. Someone who, if Christ would come today at his second coming, thou would meet God unforgiven and miss out on eternity with Christ. Who are you weeping over today? This Easter, I pray that you will weep and pray, that you will weep and love, that you will weep and share the gospel. Yes, my brother. Jesus went public on Palm Sunday to bring salvation to the world. May God help us to go public with our faith, that others too may be saved. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for sending the Savior Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, for getting on that donkey, being acknowledged as the King, the Messiah, the Savior. And we thank you that you jumped on that donkey knowing what was to come. Because you set your heart and your eyes and your mind towards Jerusalem. Because by your death, our sins are forgiven. And by your resurrection, we can experience life, new life, and eternal life. Lord, it is our prayer that this Easter season might see us draw closer to you, know you more deeply, serve you more passionately, and share you with love and compassion. We pray this in Christ's name for his glory. Amen.